We are continuing speaking with Richard Meyer on Maseches Megillah, and we'll begin with a pasuk and a short description in the Gemara, and we'll try to point out what I think is a very intriguing point that Richard Meyer makes, which I think is at minimum very thought-provoking. Chazal wonder in the Gemara and Megillah and Daf Yabez, when we introduce Mordechai, so it's a little bit of a long introduction. Ish Yehudi Haya Beshushan Habira, there was an Ish Yehudi who was in the capital, who was in Shushan, Ushmo Mordechai. His name is Mordechai, ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish. He is the son of Yair, who's son of Shimi, who's son of Kish, Ish Yemini, who is from Yemini. Chazal point out in the Gemara Maseches Megillah, this is like a lot of names going on. It's a lot of names. And why are we going through all these names? Says the Gemara, Ili Chusa Kaasi, for trying to establish his lineage, where he's from. So Lichsev Azal Abin Yamin, let's go all the way. Let's go all the way up to Bin Yamin. Once you want to show who he is, you know, it's like, if you want to talk about someone's a great-grandson of, like, Reb Chaim Brisker. You know, so they give their lineage, and they stop at Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik is unbelievable. But, like, once you're going there, like, you know, go for Reb Chaim, go for Reb Chaim. Like, why are you drawing the line? You know, let's go all the way there. Ella Maish Dahani. So what's Pshan in all of these names? So Tana Kulan Al Shemo Nikra. They're really all versions of names of Mordechai. Ben Yair is, what does it mean, Ben Yair? He was a Ben Sheheir Ein Nehem Shal Yisrael B'Tfilasov. He lightened up the people of Am Yisrael through his tefillah. Ben Shimi, he's the one who Shashama El Tfilaso, that his tefillahs were heard. Ben Kish V'chule, says the Gemara, but what's the deal? Either he's Yehudi or Yemini. He's from Sheva Yehuda, he's from Sheva Binyamin. How does that all work out? So the Gemara has a day here, we're going to focus on, his day of Rav Nachman. Ramar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar B'Nimuso Haya. Mordechai was crowned B'Nimuso, with his Nimusim. What does it mean, you're crowned B'Nimuso? So Rashi says, B'Shemos Na'in, that he had lots of beautiful names. So Yehuda and Binyamin, they weren't names of where he was from. Those were names praising who he was. He was a Yehuda and he was a Binyamin. What's Pshat in Rashi? So we'll first elaborate and then we'll share a bit of a different, where Richard Meyer comes in. If you look in the Sefer, in the Binyam Ben Yehoyadim, you know, there, so he has the following Pshat. V'nirli ha-kavana. The Rav Nachman agam demod asim Binyam asim Yehuda, he agrees that, like, Mordechai's lineage had a little bit of Binyamin in it, a little bit of Yehuda in it, from the father's side, from the mother's side. But he says, the names Yehuda and Yemini, those names that are mentioned here, are not there to describe where he's from. They describe who he was. He was a Yehuda, Mortalomar Shaya Yehudi Shalim, Kimaser Atzma Ba'avor HaYahadas. Yehudi was a way of saying he was a complete Jew. He was willing to give himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He was a really, really complete Jew. V'shem Yemini, wrote to Lomar, Miyuman Shebe'achiv, Ukmoshu Darshu Razal, Al-Shem Achyuman. He had a certain expertise, more than his brother, a certain kind of distinguished component of him. So in that sense, what does it mean? Mordechai was Muchtar B'nimusim Haya. He has a lot of special names, because he was a really special, really unique kind of a person. He had designated himself, or he has distinguished himself as being elevated, as being holy, as being very, very unique. That's our Gemara. There are some of the Mefarshim that have other suggestions. What it means, Muchtar B'Nimusin. The Yonatan Eibschitz thinks that it refers to the fact that he wore tzitzit and tefillin everywhere. He's a Yehudi because he looked like a Jew wherever he went, because wherever he went, he was wearing tzitzit and tefillin. It's not a reference to names, but the way that he dressed. But Chazal understand that we are undoubtedly praising Mordechai, and praising Mordechai in a very, very beautiful way. There is a different text, a different girsa in this Gemara, which is found in the Tshuvas of the Gaonim. It's found a little bit in Rabbeinu Hananel, found a little bit in the Aruch. It is not the version that we have. It's a version, though, that is incredibly intriguing. This Richard Meyer points out. He pointed out that Rabbi Chaim Sofer, the Shiva of Kaf HaChaim, noted this in one of his Sfarim also. And we'll try and elaborate on it. He points out like this. If you look in the way the Gaonim have the Gemara, it said like this. After it says, Mordechai Muchtar B'Nimusin Haya. Mordechai was really special. Ki Idi, a certain person, for Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Like Idi and Rabba Huna, they were also really special. For Rabba Bar Huna was Adif Minei. And Rabba Bar Huna was greater. So you have Mordechai, who was really great. You know who else was great? Idi. You know who else was great? Rabba Huna. Rabba Huna was greater than him. That's the girsa which we have in these Sfarim. Says the Rabbi Hananel, Muchtar B'Nimusin Haya Ki'idi. What does it mean he was Muchtar B'Nimusin like Idi? Perish? Haya Mitsuyan B'Date Kol Torah. He excelled in his commitment, understanding, mastery of Torah, ki'idim, name of a person, who also was known as being very, very frum. And Rabba Bar Rav Huna was adif minei, he was even greater. Wonders of Richard Meyer, the following Shilin reading the Gemara. You ready? Mordechai is unbelievable. Idi is also unbelievable. Rabba Bar Rav Huna is greater than. So who's he greater than? Is Rabba Bar Rav Huna greater just than Idi, his contemporary? Or is he even greater than Mordechai? Are we praising Mordechai? Are we praising Rabba Bar Rav Huna, lefi this girsa, that he is greater than Mordechai? V'yishla ayin b'kavanas ha-gemara, says Richard Meyer. De Rabba Bar Rav Huna adif rak mi Idi o gam mi Mordechai. It sounds like, if you just read the girsa smoothly, that we are saying that Rabba Bar Rav Huna was greater than Mordechai. This despite the fact that, what about Yiridus HaDoros? What about a decline in generations? And we seem to be praising Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Okay. Some of us may know, if you wanted to, that there were those who critiqued Mordechai a little bit. That's why the Megillah ends by saying that Mordechai was Ratzoi Lerov Echav. That most of the people liked him, but there wasn't Kulo, because partially Menu Chazal say Mikdash Sanhedrin. Some people were upset with Mordechai. The Ibn Ezra has a very powerful line there at the end of the Megillah. But that's, he wasn't always the most popular. But says Richard Meyer, there's no way that's what it means. And Richard Meyer drops the following Yesod. It took us a while to get there. Richard Meyer drops the following Yesod. And he's amazing because he sometimes gets very Kabbalistic. He sometimes gets very halachic or lamdish. This is a girsa issue in the Tshuvas HaGaonim and Rabbeinu Chananel, which he's going to explain how to read it based on a maisa that Rav Shach said over about the Brisker Rav, which is not the most it's a little bit all over the place. But he tells a maisa, according to something called Shimusha Shel Torah, which were maisas that Rav Shach said over about different Gedolei Yisrael. So he uses this to explain the girsa, and the maisa is an intriguing maisa. He says, one time Rav Shach was speaking to the Brisker Rav about one of the Gedolim in their generation, and Rav Shach said, this Gadol is so great, he's even bigger than person X from the previous generation. So the guy says, oh my gosh, you want to know how big this person is? He's even bigger than, you know, that Gadol in the previous door. You want to know how big Chaim Kanevsky is? He's even bigger than, and you said a name from the previous generation, whatever your person is, whatever you want to compare him to, each person in his own place, you know, we don't judge. So says, responded the Brisker Rav to Rav Shach, he said, Chalila ein lo marching. You can't do that. You can't do that. We are unable to assess the relative status of people in previous generations because however great we think our people are, the people of the previous generations were even greater. And I'm not saying the people of previous generations didn't have tears, but we are unable to even compare the ones of previous Doros. And you read this how Doros are so powerful that it must be there. Says of Richard Meyer, based on this Maisa, there is absolutely no way there was a Girsa in the Gaonim where they would ever even dream for a moment that Rabba Bar Rav Huna was greater than Mordechai. It couldn't be that he was greater than Mordechai because Mordechai comes from a totally different generation. Mordechai comes from a totally different place. And in Marishonim, Kibnei Malachim, Anu Kibnei Adam. If they're Malachim, so we're simple people, there's something called Yiridus HaDoros, which reframes the manner in which we relate them. So that says, Richard Meyer, Lefi that Girsa in the Gaonim, you could only read the Gemara one way. The only way to read the Gemara was that Mordechai was a totally different ballgame. Rabba Bar Rav Huna was greater than Idi. Yeah, he was greater than one of his contemporaries. But we never play the game. Every generation is a different kind of generation. Every generation, they're assessed on a different kind of level, and you're unable to compare them, you know, in any substantive way. We spoke about in the past some of the limitations of Yiridus HaDoros, be that Professor Menachem Kellner in an academic work, the Biala Rebbe in Mevaser Tov in a very different way, Rav Kook in Maimer Hador. There are different ways that people reject or question the exact and precise massive impact of Yiridus HaDoros. Rav Richard Meyer here, however, is very strongly highlighting it, Maybe this is like, I don't know, for whatever reason, everybody Yiridus HaDoros, I always find the need to focus more on where it doesn't apply. You know, there's no, for Rav Kook about Klal Yisrael, for the Bial Rebbe about individual tzaddikim, it doesn't apply. You know, there's a certain aliyah. But sometimes it's important to embrace the idea of a Yiridus HaDoros, the idea of what it means of a decline of generations, not because, and there's two ways of emphasizing Yiridus HaDoros. Sometimes Yiridus HaDoros is emphasized in order to put us down and limit our capabilities. No. They did something, but we, Nebuch, we can't do anything. Sometimes Yiridus HaDoros is invoked to almost like justify or to make us feel okay or to highlight our inadequacy. There were things that they were used to be able to do, but we can't do because, you know, Yiris HaDoros is there all the way. And there are Achronim that do things like that. And sometimes it's understandable. So Rav Elchanan has an example. Well, right. Even though there were Rishonim that were Osek in secular studies, and they're like, Yiris HaDoros, like, they could do it and we can't do it. That's one way Yiris HaDoros is often invoked, you know, in that kind of a way of almost like, you know, of almost putting down. There's an element of Yiris HaDoros, which at its core, the primary goal of it is not to put us down, but do something else entirely different. There's a Maisa. Now, the Maisa is told over in different ways. And sometimes the Maisa is told over, it has different sort of points of emphasis. It's a very famous Maisa we all know. I think Kamenetsky is on an airplane or on a train, some mode of travel where other people are there. It's one of these kinds of Maisas, you know, one of these kinds of Maisas. So he's there, and there's a guy, his grandson is there also, and he keeps on coming. I don't know which grandson it was. He's coming back, and he keeps on checking in with Yaakov, how you doing, what can I do for you, v'chule, v'chule. And the guy next to him says, I don't understand. How come your grandchildren are so nice to you? My grandchildren aren't so respectful to me. So Yaakov, like he said, I don't have a recording of it, and in some versions it was a little bit of a harsher statement, some it was a little bit of a less harsh statement. I don't know. Yaakov said, well, there's a chiluk between you and me. The chiluk is that you believe in evolution. You believe that man comes from monkeys. So every generation is just a further step away from monkeys. The world is progressing. You represent a more distant, a lower form of man. And therefore, the kids don't match of you because you're just closer to the monkeys. And we're more developed. We're going forward. You know, that's one way that he sometimes, you know, that's one. But us, said Yaakov, no. We believe there's Maimon Har Sinai and down. I am two generations closer to the source. Two ways to go to the source. Okay, a lot to say about that Maisa and to unpackage that Maisa in a couple of different ways. One of the points, which undoubtedly one can extract from that, which is so important, is the idea of Yiris HaDoros, the way it's being used here. It's not about, in any real way, putting down Rabba Bar Rav Huna. The goal is not to point out, oh my gosh, he wasn't so special. The goal is saying to Meyer, but understand who Mordechai was. And understand the reverence with which we talk sometimes about people, the reverence with which we refer to certain people, because they were one generation a little bit closer. They were a little bit more unique. There's something deeply special about that, worthy of admiration. In one of the schools that I was in, there's no Skokie people here, Rabbi Weiss, who was the junior Rebbe for a very long time. He was a fascinating figure. He is a fascinating figure. Happens not to be Skokie anymore. He was retired. He was I don't know his exact background, but he lives in Lakewood now, a very impressive Talmud Chacham, so I'm told, who used to teach the college-level math classes, I think was very close to getting a PhD at some point in time. He is the only person that I met that when I mentioned to, this is how you know the person is Chashav, he's the only person that I've met that when I told him that Rav Yammer became the Rosh Yeshiva, his reaction was, is that Max Jammer's son? I mean, Yammer's father was a very famous professor of physics, Einstein, Talmud of Einstein. He is the only one that when I mentioned Yammer, he said, oh, is that Max Jammer's son? I said, yeah. He said, oh, that's very chashev. You know, like that. No one else was holding it. Like, really, really like a very, very special person. So Weiss retired. He's not there anymore. So when I was interviewing guys there this year and I was talking about that phenomenon, it was an amazing thing because if you spoke to people who learned by him, they actually felt that shaychus a little bit. Here was exposure to someone who was really, really chashev. It was really, really chashev. And sometimes in a world in which it's like, can I have like a younger Rebbe? You know, that's like that shift to someone like that. So you encounter people sometimes who are amazingly unique, almost like they've gone through things and they're big people and they've been able to be there. And to appreciate sometimes a gap which can exist between, you know, and some people experience it in certain ways and some people experience it, you know, in other ways. And people that have seen things to be machshev in that direction. My daughter had to have a school project. So when they had to have a school project, something where they have to interview someone either from your family or just someone who, like, you know, experienced something. So my son once had a project. He had to experience someone that he had to talk to. It was ideally a family member. That, you know, with one of like the wars in Israel, that like fought in the wars in Israel. So we are obviously did not participate in any of the wars in Israel. You know, came a little bit too late to the country. But he was able to do someone else. So he sat down with Kaspi. If you're holding in Kaspi for a while, they sat down for like an hour or so going through some of the history of 1948, 1967, and things like that. My daughter just had to speak to interview like a family member for a school project, Shorashim, understanding your roots. So she called my grandmother, Zalang Zinstark, she called my grandmother in Lakewood to speak about, you know, she's not a survivor. My my wife's family's survivors. Her grandmother should also live and be well. But she called my grandmother. It was an amazing thing because it wasn't a conversation that was, oh, Shira, look how low you are. It was a grandmother who could explain, who could take you through history, who could take you through having a husband that served in the American Army in World War II, remembering, I got to my grandmother many times, any of you that know Rabbi Kivi Naiman from Dira, so we're Shtekol Mishpacha. So my grandmother told me that she remembers my great-grandmother and my grandfather going down to the docks by Ellis Island, searching and hoping to find relatives and finding his, I think, great-grandparents at that point in time and taking them into the house and having them in your two-bedroom apartment, him taking a room and he was mamish broken and feeding, whatever the case may be. There's something important. There's a visceral of Richard Meyer here. There's a girsa that maybe you could read that Rabbi Bar Huna was greater than Mordechai. Instead of Richard Meyer, it's not Shayach. Because different generations sometimes, again, we've limited Yisrael Doros a lot, the thought of the Chaban, again, the thought of a lot of people, for sure, Maimar Hador, but there's also something visceral about, sometimes there are people that go a couple generations up, there's a certain excellence, there's a certain pristine form of godless that a person can see, and here I refer not only to Torah expertise and Torah knowledge, though it's certainly there also, but there's a certain kind of almost like purity, exposure, excellence, which doesn't manifest itself per se in the narrow details of, if anyone listened, I don't know if you did, Rav David Miller was interviewed by Rabbi Blass. Beautiful discussion of David Miller, Shlita, the Reshiva, the Reshkola in Gross here in Yerushalayim, he just describes things. There's an excellence, exposure to people that saw things. He saw things coming to Eretz Yisrael pre-Six-Day War, in order to dedicate, because they needed people to volunteer and what that looked like and what that meant. And sometimes it's an important thing to cultivate a little bit. Mordechai was Mordechai. Mordechai was Mordechai. And that's a chashuv thing. And even if a girsa implies otherwise, of Meyer, they're not shayach. And he quotes that ma'isa from Avshach with the Briska Rav. Let's not compare gedolim of different generations, because every generation, there is a bit of a gap. He quotes this to Maharal. The Maharal understands that it's every door. It's every door there's a bit of a gap, a bit of a drop. It's not in a way which makes us less, but in a way which makes them more. In a way which gives us the ability to respect and to look up to and to identify greatness of the previous. Not because you know more or you know less. I think I know more Torah than my grandmother knows. My grandmother is a infinitely holier, she's first of all holy, which is a good starting point. An infinitely, greater, holier person with a more developed relationship with the Baruch Sha'olam, who's experienced things that I could never fathom experiencing, who's seen a world which is great. And when I interact with her, I experience a Yiridus Hadoros. I do. She's just a B'yad Hara. There's a certain excellence which is there. And that's a chashuv thing. It's a chashuv thing. And it's not bad to cultivate that a little bit, especially when it comes to relationships which we may have with grandparents, with great grandparents, with older people who have seen things and witnessed things. Going when Avganz was sitting Shiva, to hear him speak about his mother who passed away over 100, years old, and what she went through, in the Holocaust and the Maisas that took place. It's unbelievable things to see people who experience that and to experience not, oh my God, we're so, but look where we come from, look who they are, and to tap into that is a very, very beautiful thing. So that was at least, again, one Mahalach of Richard Meyer in terms of explaining a Gemara in Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara praises Mordechai. Mordechai had a lot of names that highlighted his particular sense of uniqueness. And even though in some girsas for the Gaonim and for the Aruch and for Ben Chananel, there's a bit of a different way of reading that Gemara. So it's pashut that Mordechai is still Mordechai. And Mordechai is still Mordechai. And to embrace that on the generation up, have a wonderful rest of your day.